In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Forgetting about the pod. Are you recording? Yeah. I keep forgetting about the pod. You don't even know. I keep forgetting to upload the Patreon. I don't know how it happens, but like I have it in my head that day. And I'm like, la la. I have alarms, all these alarms that go off every day. It's on my calendar. Alarm goes off. Listen to Patreon episode. And then I'm like, oh, I'll do it in half an hour when I'm like folding washing or I'll go for a walk or like whatever. I'm just not in the right time. And then hours go by.
It's not the right time.
Hours go by. 2 weeks in a row. Both times. Like last time I listened to the whole thing and was like, sweet, good to go. And then just forgot to upload it.
Yeah, I've done that.
And then was like, oh my God. And the girls. And then last week just forgot about the entire fucking thing.
We're kind of in different, like, we've kind of flipped a little in some ways, it feels like.
Yeah. Recently. But the vibes.
Yeah, the vibe. Like I'm really on the ball yes. at the moment.
Yeah.
What's happened?
You're really on the ball and organized, and I'm like a frazzled mess. I think in a relationship, one person
yeah
has to be one way, and then the other person
can relax a bit.
You've
but
been
for
it
sure.
for so long. I think when I went to Ireland, I got like some sort of latent tortured artist like energy out of my body. I literally feel that way, and I feel like the whole time I'd be like, I can't upload the episode because I'm a tortured artist who needs to like go and live in the woods for a month and like be at one with myself and like read and write and be relaxed. And then when I did it, I was just like, okay, like yeah,
now I can go on now emails. I can apply to my emails.
Now I just get that that's just part of life. It's just fine to yeah. do. I feel less like a fraught about admin or something.
Yeah.
And maybe that's freed you up to be able to have the space to just
to be my own tortured artist. To just forget about everything. No, for sure. Even with like being on the ball with the episode beforehand, you're always sending ideas for what we should cover. I haven't even like opened the doc. It's a whole new world out there.
The thing about it is someone has to occupy each role. We can't, like, it would be weird if we were both, you know? So when you were so good and on top of things, it creates a vacuum.
Imagine how it would be if we were both at the same time, though.
We would be.
But with the merch, like, a perfect example is the merch.
Yeah.
You were offline, like, literally mm-hmm. gone in the woods yeah. for a month
don't
and all this.
Don't try to contact her. Try to get an answer.
Which was also, we're also so stupid because we were like, okay, cool, we'll get it all organized before break. So we had it all organized. We did have it all organized before break. And yes. then we were like, sweet, we'll do the pre-orders in August. But like, who's going to do that if we're on break? And Grace is like literally offline, like dead. So then I was like, okay, I'll just email it and it'll be that simple. I'll put the order in. And then it ended up being like this huge back and forth, so long, needed to ask her, Grace, so many questions about sock designs and like numerous different things.
You sent me a handwritten letter to the house yeah. to try and get a response.
I sent a text and I was like, ignore, don't worry, I've sorted it. And then So that was like back and forth and back and forth. And then also I was like trying to number crunch because I was like, actually, are we even making any profit from this?
A question we must always stop and ask ourselves. A question
we literally just asked ourselves before we started recording just now. And then so I was like doing this number crunching, getting my boyfriend who did economics to like make us spreadsheets and stuff. And then like it was actually, and then I was trying to work out how many orders we shipped to Australia, how many orders we shipped to the UK. It was just a lot of like maths, like actual maths, was doing percentages of how much we'd sold versus where everyone lived. And then Grace comes back and I was like, I am not doing this anymore. I've done so much. And she was like, okay. And then now you've just taken over.
We tag teamed.
Which is so nice.
It's like that woman that I was obsessed with for a while on TikTok when I was still on TikTok. Maybe this is why I'm efficient now because I haven't been on TikTok since July. That Australian woman called Margarita who talks
Margarita.
About Margarita. I can't remember her surname. And she would do like these like semi trad wifey things that I really liked about like your relationship and being in tapping into your divine feminine or whatever. But she was basically saying that she was reframing the way we think about household labor, and she was basically like, I do all the washing in the house and I don't complain about it because I don't want my husband to help me with it because it's my thing. Like, I just want to do it on my own time, to my own schedule, how I want to do it. That's my job. And I just focus on that and not thing. And his job is like washing the car, like cleaning the driveway, whatever it is, but we just don't cross over. And it's not this sense that like each person should equally contribute to the house. It's like you pick your roles and then the other person's just not involved. And I think that's a much, in a business partnership, I think that works better too. When you're both trying to do the same things at once, it kind of ends up like neither person is doing it.
Well, yeah, that's how we used to be on our emails. Because we both open our emails and then I was like, we didn't know who was replying to what. Yeah. And then no one would reply to anything. There was always
no one to anything.
I'd be like, we missed that fucking campaign and they were going to pass $10,000.
An email, can I please advertise with your podcast? We'd be like, no, sorry, it's been 4 months.
Hey, so sorry, it's been 4 months. Are you still doing this campaign?
We get emailed about like being nominated for podcasting awards. It's like
no one would reply.
Don't try and get a reply out of us, but now you can. No, but that's why. If we were like, you're on emails, that's your job. You do it however you want, whatever time you want, whatever time of day, that's your thing. And my job is blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we never... we never set up earlier.
I like that idea about the household chores. Do you know what trad wife I've been getting into? Mm-mm. I haven't been on TikTok much either, but she came up on my TikTok page and it was Lucky Blue Smith.
I love that trad wife. She's so, I know exactly she's who you're so talking gorgeous. About. She's like sexy second wife.
And she makes him all this food and she's always like, this is what I cooked for my husband today. And she makes him so, so, so many delicious snacks and treats, and then she made him a bagel the other day and she was like, Lucky had four, and then he put it in the comment and she carried on talking.
Four.
She was like, yeah, they were so delicious that Lucky had four, and then we had lunch and blah blah blah, and all the people in the comments were like, did we hear four properly?
Four bagels. A bagel is four breads, which is something I say a lot.
Four loaves of bread.
Four slices of bread is one bagel in terms of density of bread. So he had 16 breads.
16 slices 16, of bread.
That's a loaf. That's for sure a loaf. 16.
Well, she makes some crazy food. He's a lucky boy because she makes him
lucky by name.
Yeah. She makes some insane food every single day and then makes herself something completely different. That woman is never not in the kitchen, but she's happy.
She's so beautiful. She has beautiful children. So Lucky Blue Smith, This is another of my Roman empires. It's like, what happened to him and Stormy Bree?
Yes, I think so.
Stormy Bree. And the daughter's called Gravity. Like, it's all just it's all just like ping-ponging around my mind, yeah. My subconscious at all times of these names.
Why did they break up?
I mean, simply must know.
What's his new girlfriend's name? Starts with N, I think.
Yes, it's...
I mean, we don't need to know another name.
I've got his Instagram up. Nara.
Nara. Because I'm like, Nara. Does she has other kids. They're very young.
They're their kids.
They're their kids.
Yeah. Two beautiful children.
Wow. He's really pumping them out. Three kids. How old is that boy?
I know, he's like 21 or something. Lucky Blue Smith. You don't like see him around so much anymore, I guess, because he's too busy raising his brood.
Too busy eating bagels. Eating bagels. Not in model shape anymore. Okay, so some people will be happy about this, some people will be sad. So it'll be a mixed bag. Grace is sad, I'm happy. There's a huge big profile of Taylor Swift in the New York Times, and we have to talk about it because it's by Taffy Brodesser Ackner, one of the best celebrity profilers of our time, and also author of Flashman Is in Trouble, which, have we talked about that book?
I feel like you didn't.
I didn't like love it. I didn't love it, but it's because I gave up in the first half. Mm-hmm. Because the first half she was talking heaps about, it was from a male perspective, and it was, and he was just being really gross about women the whole time, which is like, there's a point to it, to kind of show what some men's psyche can be and stuff. But I was like actually just finding it kind of hard to read. But then knowing it came from her, I kind of want to try again because I do love her writing.
They made it into a TV show that I really want to see because I like all the people involved.
Who's involved?
Claire Danes, Jesse Eisenberg. Those are the only two I can remember. But I like them.
And yeah. Taffy.
I like Taffy. Yeah, exactly. Taffy. She's so special that she's called Taffy. Oh, yeah, and Adam Brody's in it.
Was it her that said that she got paid $4 a word?
No.
$4 per word? Who said that?
Do you think she does?
Someone said that. Yeah, and then got in trouble.
She's
got cancelled like Linda Evangelista.
Yeah.
I think it was her. Or it was someone else.
Yeah, she's the Linda Evangelista of celebrity profiles.
Yeah. I think it is. Yeah, it's Taffy. She said New York Times paid her $4 a word.
This profile is roughly 8,000 words. You do the math. That's like Vanity Fair in the 80s rates, yeah. Baby.
She said, when I started doing the...
$32,000.
She said, when I started doing the I don't get out of bed for less than $4 a word thing, people started paying me $4 a word. And this person in long reads goes, what the actual fuck?
I don't think I've ever got paid more than a dollar a word.
No, that's crazy.
That's USD as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, it's USD.
Bloody hell, Taffy.
Yeah, the reaction was swift and violent and from what I could tell, divided for those. Yeah. Yeah. It was just quite crazy. Anyway, she wrote this amazing profile and got paid a lot of money. And she didn't even profile Taylor Swift, which is like the most iconic part about it. She went with her son to a concert in Santa Clara, California. And sat in section 301. And the way she was describing the people in her section was so funny. How they had the, it's me, I'm the husband, it's me. The two husbands with the matching shirts. And then the wives sat together. And then she said that one of the husbands asked her what she was writing. And she said she was doing a story for the New York Times. And he was like, oh, I thought they would have given the New York Times better seats. But she bought her seats so she could obviously write about the experience of being all the way back in the stands, which is honestly, in my humble opinion, not even worth going to the fucking concert at that point.
Yeah, it's really crazy. I think this was she's obviously such a smart writer. I was rereading some of her older stuff off the back of this, including that really funny profile she did with Bradley Cooper after A Star Is Born, which I'd forgotten about, where he like refused to answer any questions, but she turned that into the story.
Did you read the Nicki Minaj one?
I think I read it at the time, but I haven't reread it. But I remember it being very iconic.
Nicki Minaj fell asleep in the interview. And then she was saying, these are the questions I would have asked Nicki Minaj if she was awake. And she like wrote the whole piece around like what she would have asked Nicki Minaj and what she could like glean from her being asleep. That's what her answer would be.
Funny. Oh my God. So yeah, she's like, she deconstructs a celebrity profile. She understands exactly the point of why it exists. And it is kind of genius to do a celebrity profile on Taylor Swift without talking to Taylor Swift, because the reality is talking to Taylor Swift doesn't give you anything interesting about her. Like, she is so impenetrable, perfectly media trained, so in control of her own image that if you sat with her for 4 hours, you would like, you just wouldn't leave with anything outside of what she's already giving everyone.
And what she's giving everyone is a lot.
Yeah, like she's conducting her own version of a celebrity profile 24/7 with how she manages herself.
Yeah.
So why would she fucking bother getting a middleman in?
Yeah, and the way Teffy wrote about it was just being like, she has, I don't even know what the number was, some fucking crazy millions and millions of followers on across all the platforms. And she was like, compared to the New York Times, what did she say? Let me Google it. She said Taylor Swift had 468 million followers across Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, whereas the New York Times had a mere 92 million. Absent the usual publicity contract obligation, which is obviously like when movie stars have to do it because they have to promote their movie, like Bradley Cooper for A Star Is Born, I honestly can't see a reason that someone who has revolutionized the relationship a singer can have with her fans should want an intermediary. Certainly she's sold enough albums without our help.
Yeah. Exactly. And mentioning the way that, like, especially, so her last profile was 2019. There hasn't been, I might have missed one, but as far as I know, there hasn't been, like, a famous Taylor Swift profile or interview that was, like, very iconic or very interesting, you know, like the Channing Tatum one. She's just not that kind of celebrity. But since her last one in 2019... the closeness she's built with her fandom, with like suddenly dropping Folklore and the other one
even more
during COVID, how she said in this piece that she like dropped that feature length film about
Miss Americana.
Yeah, Miss Americana. And then apparently there was another one. It was like behind the scenes of one of her COVID albums. It was just kind of like uploaded in full without any announcements or things around it. Like the fact that she has that like one-on-one relationship with them is so core to her brand that in itself is like such a fascinating thing to write about.
Yeah. And then, yeah. So what Taffy says is she doesn't think she could write another story about Taylor Swift that's better than the story she tells about herself through all of her songs, through her dances, through her videos, through her social transmission. And just saying like, she's a master, not only of the revelation of information, but the analysis of each revelation, the scrutiny of that analysis, the contextualization of it all, which is, yeah, how could I interpret Taylor Swift better than she does and better than her fans do online every day without my interference or input? I just love the way she questions everything in her writing. It's so cool. So she also talks, I think this piece, it's obviously so, I think it's so obvious the way this piece should have been written, but only obvious because she wrote it that way. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't obvious from the offset, but obviously because Taylor Swift is doing her Eras Tour, this is about her Eras Tour, she went through all the eras, so she went through all of her albums, and then that's the way she set out the profile. And then she was talking about being at the concert with Ezra, her son, and how a girl came up to her and said, "What era are you?" And what did Taffy say? She said, the girl said, the girl started telling her that she used to sing her Taylor Swift songs in front of the mirror alone in her bedroom, and she was a part of her childhood, not just in the way you look back fondly, but in the ways you look back with embarrassment. And then she goes, "All the ways you're so ashamed of the person you were right before this moment. You could so easily be ashamed of singing Taylor Swift in your bedroom. You could leave it behind, but she doesn't let you. She says, 'Look, I'm getting older too. You grow with her. What if you weren't ashamed of our eras? What if we realized they were always with us and you just didn't have to feel shame about who you were?'" She started crying. And then Taffy goes, "Baby, I did too." Yeah. It's like so sweet what Taylor Swift has done.
There is something so like, I think something happens with pop culture moments that take off and really resonate. And the Eras Tour is just like a huge example of that, where people are responding to it without even necessarily knowing why. Or like, it strikes a chord without people necessarily knowing why. Obviously it's Taylor Swift and she's huge and she's revisiting her back catalogue. But yeah, reading that part of this piece and this idea that she's like revolutionizing. Her whole shtick in many ways is about just going from someone who's very people-pleasery to being someone who just likes herself as she is and just embraces herself as she is. And that narrative of you've played out your life in the public eye and you could be really embarrassed at being a really earnest 17, 18, 19, 20, like, you know, living out these messy relationships and living out, you know, the girl squad thing, all these things that we would look back on from our teens and early and mid 20s and just cringe at. She's putting them front and center and being like, these are all part of who I am and I love them and I'm still that person and I'm not. Like, she's just never tried to be too cool or her evolutions have always felt like so authentically true to who she is in this crazy way when she is so removed from everyone.
Yeah.
And I think Taffy's like tapped into the fact that that is really the core of like why people are freaking the fuck out about this show.
I know. And also it's crazy because she's just such a genius in so many ways because, so with the Eras tour, her reason for doing it was because she hadn't been able to tour for so long. They kept getting cancelled because of COVID and then she'd released all of these albums. So she was like, I'm just going to do a concert of all of the Eras. And everyone was just like, you can't pack in like how many albums, 7, I'm going to guess, but maybe more, into one stadium tour. And she was just like, yes, I can. But then at the same time, it coincides with her re-recording all of her albums because Scooter Braun sold her masters. So it's just like, it's just genius on so many different levels. It's taking the fans back through those eras at a time where she's re-releasing those albums to get them to re-listen to her new versions and make like way more money. And just she's such a fucking genius. And then she's not only doing the tour, which I'm so sad I didn't go to because I started getting obsessed with her after she came to LA, or like sort of at the same time as she was coming to LA. But I was like, I literally can't spend my friend spent $1,500 USD each. And I was like, I can't. And they were like, it was worth every second. They were like crying the whole time. But yeah, now I wish I could have gone. But on Saturday night, guess where I'm going?
You're actually going?
To the Grove. To the Taylor Swift Eras Tour concert film. She's making $160 million in one week, opening weekend.
That is mere pennies to Miss Taylor Swift at this point. But is this a like concert film in the vein of Katy Perry's?
Nope.
Iconic. Are you getting the one?
Yes.
Nope.
It's not, Grace. What it is, as I top up my Campo Viaggio Tempranillo from Sainsbury's, it's literally just the concert in full. 3 hours of Taylor Swift singing, but not. Do you want some more?
Yes, please. I thought you'd never ask. I mean, I get it. Is it mainly seeing it people who can't afford tickets or missed out on tickets, or do you think it's like people are such fans that they'll have gone to the concert and be like, now I just want to go see the whole thing again?
I'm going with people who went to the concert.
Wow. It's incredible. Like,
yeah, special. I can't wait. Apparently the whole cinema is just up dancing and singing for 3 hours. I feel like it'll be not cooler than going to a Taylor Swift concert, but kind of. Because I am also like, when I went to Beyonce, did I say this to you already on the pod? I can't remember. When I went to Beyonce, right, I was like, okay, I'm poor. I can't afford to buy, again, friends, all my fucking rich LA friends going to like the front row of Beyonce. So they paid $1,200 USD, a bargain, for Beyonce. And I was like, I actually just can't justify that. Like, I went to pay it and then I felt so sick. And I was like, I've loved Beyonce forever. I've seen her live now 4 times.
I was going to say, you've seen her a few times. 4. You've been at a few concert, iconic gigs.
I forgot about 1 before and was saying it was 3. And then I was like, I forgot about the time I went in Auckland. So it's 4. And, but I was like, I still can't justify that. Even though I love her so much, I just can't. I would literally go into debt for it. And then, anyway, another friend of mine right before was like, I've got us $300 tickets, $300 US, still so expensive. But I was like, bargain at this point. Went and we were up in the stands, probably fucking section 301 where Taffy was for Taylor, very far back, and like actually looks okay because you can see the stage fine. The stadiums are set out in a brilliant way. Architects did a great job, like can see everything, but the sound was so shit, Grace.
Really?
That it was like, and obviously you can see her on the screen and you kind of only look at the screen anyway unless you're fucking front row because you've always got like some tall person in front of you. Like, even if you're close, you look at the screen. So I'm like, it doesn't matter that we're far back. I'd rather save the money. But the sound was so shit.
That's like, really surprising.
It was just like, I've listened to Renaissance so many times. I know every single beat. I know that it's made to play in a club. I know that it's made to like make you dance. And like, you could barely hear the beat. And I was just like, at that point, I was like, give me that business class upgrade fucking disc. Yeah. I would pay anything. If there was a thing being like, you can now upgrade your tickets and you have to pay $3,000, I would have been like,
yeah, okay.
I don't have that in my account, but I'll get it wired to me and I'll fucking be up at the front.
I see exactly what you're saying. These seem like crazy figures to me for tickets to concerts.
It's because they sell out immediately and it's resale.
But, oh, okay. So they're not able to actually ask, because that was what I was going to ask. Is like, it seems, yeah. But I guess that makes sense.
Actually, that's a lie, because the Beyonce one I was going to buy was from Ticketmaster, and it was $1,200, and then with taxes and stuff, it was $1,400, and that's how much the ticket was. But that was at the front. Like, that was like,
yeah, okay.
The most you could pay for a Beyonce ticket was essentially $1,400. And then I was like, I can't do it. And then I looked on the day, and resale had gone up to $3,000, and all of them sold out. The resale, like, literally people bought tickets for $3,000 that day. It was mental.
I guess of all the experience, like, yeah.
Taylor Swift is coming to London next year. Her Eras Tour is not coming to London until next August. And my sister's going to be here. So she's like, we have to go. And I was like, yeah, we have to go. And then I looked at tickets and they're more expensive than they were in LA. So they're...
You've
for the
do it. Do it for the love of Taylor.
Oh my God. I was like, £800.
£800
to sit at the back. The cheapest ticket in the stadium was £800.
I'm just surprised she's not getting...
But it's not her. It's resale now.
Okay. That's resale.
Yeah.
That's disappointing. It's crazy. How is she, the admiration I have for people like her at that level where you could just like sit on your laurels in your Nashville mansion and count your millions. She's doing 3 hours a night every single night for
in the pouring rain
for 2 years. Yeah. For multiple years of her life.
Yeah.
That is wild. She's out smooching whatever his name is.
Travis.
She's just thriving. It's nice to see a woman thrive.
They are the epitome of Barbie and Ken.
Yeah. I'm not 100% vibing it.
No, I don't vibe it at all.
Who's your like fantasy league where you'd be like, yeah.
Carly Kloss
leaves. Joshua Kushner breaks free from the...
Obviously Carly Kloss. I would... Die.
Would you die?
Die. I actually feel like something would happen physically to me. I think I would like not have a heart attack, but like some kind of mini stroke or something. It's fucking when she went when so Taffy as well gets into the Taylor Swift Carly Kloss thing. And
is
I like,
this how much of a thing it is that it's like in the New York Times? Like it's fully.
Yes.
Okay.
Taffy was like, I believe it and you can't tell me otherwise in brackets. And then she goes.
Yes, that paragraph was very. I sent it. Ghostwritten by you.
I sent it to Grace and was like, I wrote this part. Yeah, it's fucking crazy. Because also like then Taffy was like, it was so funny because Taffy was losing her mind in the same way I lost my mind to you, which is in the way that you can only lose your mind when you've been like deep in this. That week in time where she was performing in LA. She's in LA, the entire city's crazy. There were like 4 billion events in LA for Taylor Swift. She was playing like 9 nights in a row at like a 70,000 person stadium sold out. And then she plays Maroon on the first night, which is Carly Kloss's birthday, which Taffy just wrote about in the New York Times, which is so funny. And then she was like, in caps, being like, and then Carly Kloss herself comes. Like, and then now she's dating a footballer. I really am disappointed.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
It's quite crazy.
It is quite crazy.
But yeah, if she could be with anyone, Karlie Kloss. If not Karlie Kloss, any woman in the world.
Just a woman, yeah. I can't think of a man that would feel like satisfying to us as a society for her to marry. Because she really is like the queen of America. Like, it has the vibe of all of us peasants like 200 years ago. Being like, who's going to marry the queen? It feels like that.
Who's a hot lesbian? Who are lesbians?
Cara, Miley.
Cara and her are best friends. That says a lot. You are, what is it? You are the company, you keep. Hot lesbians. Woman.
Do you need someone with a bit of like a little something something, you know? Like not just, that's how I feel a bit about Karlie Kloss. And like the Karlie Kloss narrative would be great in the sense that they've both been like denying it and were friends and have been very like straight presenting, but I feel like if it's really who she's gonna like settle with, we need a bit of edge.
Can I just go out with Sarah Paulson?
Yes. Like a
Ruby Rose.
No.
What's her face? Kristen Stewart.
Would you be into that?
Yes.
Oh my god,
I don't know why, I'd just be so into it. It'd be so random.
It would be crazy. Sarah Paulson's good, like a, like how Sarah Paulson goes out with Holland Taylor, like a an elder lesbian,
yeah,
relationship, age gap relationship.
So, what else? What else about this piece? We're not moving on yet. Try as you might. This part as well about the errors thing is really sweet. How she brought in how the guy proposed during Love Story, that song.
Yeah.
And how Taffy kind of didn't mention that, like, every guy proposes at the concert to that song. Like, it was as if she didn't know that that was an ongoing thing happening on TikTok throughout this whole tour. Maybe, she obviously does know.
Maybe Taffy's not on TikTok.
But Taffy's deep in, like, Taylor Swift stuff. And, yeah I don't know. She was just really surprised that someone proposed during Love Story. And I guess if it's in your section, obviously that is a crazy thing to happen. But then she was talking about how she was basically saying that she was making up in her own brain that the girl who got proposed to was upset about being proposed to during Love Story, because it Taylor Swift was her moment and that was her song and it was her era. And then like this boy thought he was doing the right thing by proposing, but he actually wasn't.
You think boys guess that You're told to propose at a Taylor Swift concert.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You're basically told, I think. A guy doesn't just, like, someone said, like, a sister or a friend's been like,
oh, yeah,
your dream.
Yeah.
Like, you're directed to. Like, yes. No one would just spontaneously know.
I mean, no. Yeah, no, no, no.
Or
no,
the
no,
girls
no.
Being like, look at this TikTok. Isn't it so romantic?
For sure.
We've booked tickets next September.
Yeah, it's very nice to, like, she said, it never occurred to me to look back at even my most carefree and innocuous era with anything but shame.
Mm.
It's really nice to look back at our younger selves and not feel shame and embarrassment.
It's like when we interviewed Caitlin Moran and she was saying that about, like, trying to look for those parts of your younger self that you're inspired by and impressed by. I think about that a lot. My younger self was so jarre, but so like so fearless and confident and would just wear weird shit and like go up to people. Like I remember when I moved to Sydney, I literally didn't know anyone in the whole city. And I remember going to like a Sydney uni first week thing at a bar. I would just go and talk to people. I'd just be like, hi, how are you? I just moved here. Like, I just can't, I would rather die than do that now.
A little sweet girl.
A little girl from the girl in the big city. But I'm like, that's nice. Like those, instead of looking back.
Don't try to do it in our industry.
I would never.
I tried the other day in LA. This girl was so rude to me. She was standing by herself at an event. And so I went to talk to her because I thought she was alone. And she was just like, who the fuck do you think you are talking to me? And I was like, never mind.
Never mind. I know it has been sort of beaten out of us with a stick. The old. I mean, not really. Just in a work context. But that thing about who you are when you're young, you're optimistic, you see the best in people, you're very sweet, I just feel like I was less self-critical. I was less critical about, I don't know, just so many things. I didn't police myself as much. And there's so much beauty in that. And I think there's something really nice about being inspired by that and celebrating that and thinking that was, and eras is such a nice way of putting it. Like you can't recreate that. It's not true to who you are now, but that's an era of your life that you celebrate and hold on to. It's very special.
It is very special. It's also special. Like funny, this tour coinciding with, or maybe like influencing the culture even wider than it thought, like coinciding with everyone's return to girlhood, which is what we talked about on the Patreon last week. We like did a big deep dive on the return of ballet flats, which just then led into like this wider conversation about girlhood and feminine fashion and like reclaiming the clothes that were like sexualized in our youth and kind of like turned into these things that weren't about us. And it's funny that this tour is happening at the exact same time as women are like wearing bows, embracing pink, embracing like each other in a way that we kind of stopped doing in that Tumblr era of like, not just like the other girls, not like the other girls.
100%. There's something now, and we've talked about this before as well, where it feels like masculinity is in crisis or floundering, or like there's just something happening there, and femininity, or like however you want to put it, is just thriving. Like there's all these statistics about women doing like outpacing girls outpacing boys in school at crazy levels, and like university graduation rates are huge, and performance in the workplace is huge, and even just how TikTok feels like this beautiful little like world of women sharing information and thing with each other. Mm. Like Taylor Swift embodies and taps into that feeling that we're in this like girl moment where we're in a post Me Too, and I obviously say that lightly. I'm not saying that we've like moved on from patriarchy completely or in any huge way, but there is this feeling of being liberated from the past, realizing that the shit that we all went through in our like girlhood was fucked, and re-engaging with all those things that we love, but in this new context that feels, I don't know, it feels like we're all a bit liberated and free and like
happy. Yeah. Bless us, and all the boys are in QAnon.
All the boys are in boys.
Incels as well, because we're all free and we don't need them.
Like, literally.
I know, it's sad. Insane. I mean, it's both my brothers.
Yeah, the rates of, like, loneliness, and, I mean, I listened to a podcast about this saying that they're quite literally, I know it sounds like a joke, considering holding boys down a year because of how much they're being outpaced by girls now in the classroom. It's this thing of, like, when we were growing up, it was such a thing where you didn't want to speak too much in class, and if you did, people thought you were annoying or bossy, and there's been like this great kind of pushback to that, and girls are just doing incredibly well, and it's like, what do men have? Where's their Taylor Swift? They have
Joe Rogan.
They have Joe Rogan. They have Jordan Peterson. Yes. They have Piers Morgan. They have who was I about to say? Leonardo DiCaprio. Like, they've got no one.
Aw, they need a Brené Brown. They need Esther Perel.
They've got Diary of a CEO, but I feel like everyone who listens to him is a woman. Like, they're not listening to self-help. Women are just thriving right now.
Yeah, who's that other guy? Who's that other guy, not Diary of a CEO guy, the other British guy? I actually find him quite jarre and annoying. The love guy? What's his fucking name?
Oh, Jay Shetty.
Yes?
Yes.
Amar went to school with him.
Isn't he like 15 years older than Amar?
I don't know. How old is he? 36. And Amar's 34.
Yeah, he just seems older. Oh my god, he's interviewed Jada Pinkett Smith too.
Oh my god, bring it up. She
is doing the rounds. Her interview with Jay Shetty is 2 hours and 30 minutes long.
Yeah, it would be.
That is too long.
That man.
Yeah, there's... Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny's for the girls. I'm like, it's all for... Timothée Chalamet's for the girls. Like, it's all for the girls.
Mm-hmm. And the
What's
gays.
For the boys? What's for the straight... Won't anyone think of the straight men?
Won't anyone think of the straight white men?
Won't anyone think of the poor straight men? All they have is Joe. I'm like, that's not enough.
Well, it's a bad thing.
Oh my god, Taylor Swift. Oh my god. Oh my god. This is like an academic paper. Taylor Swift and Joe Alwyn are literally microcosms for men and women in this day and age.
Mm.
He's just like floundering, doesn't know what he's doing, dropped the ball of a lifetime, like fumbled the bag harder than anyone.
In terms of like her and in terms of his career?
In terms of all of it, yeah. Like he, like he's like, I want to be an actor, but I don't want to be famous. Yeah, I'm not going to try and be good at acting.
Fucking Hampstead Heath by himself these days.
And in like an oversized cardigan, I imagine, yeah. He is like so indicative of this whole thing. It's like, what do you want? You want this powerful woman, but then you resent her for being famous, and then you want to be an actor, but then you like don't finesse your craft. So when you get the role of a lifetime in Sally Rooney's thing, which Taylor Swift definitely helped you get, you aren't very good in it. Like this is it. And then she breaks free and she's thriving and he's walking around the ponds. Like it's just, it's a metaphor. It's a metaphor.
You guys make me laugh so much the way you talk. And an oversized Cardi, I imagine. I love being drunk. I hate being sober.
Why do we ever not drink when we do this?
I hate being sober now.
Do you?
Yep.
I like being sober, but sometimes I fear I'm getting a bit too sensible.
I like just being a little bit drunk. I like just having like 1 to 2 drinks and just having a nice little buzz. But yeah, this past week I've really been craving a drink.
I had a
drink last night. It was a Tuesday.
I had two glasses of champagne and a cigarette last Monday.
Did you?
Baby, I was gone. I was gone. Do you remember how Tilly used to be like, she was gone, girl? I was gone, girl. I was like, blah, blah, like just talking nonsense, coming home, trying to order KFC on Uber Eats. I was like a mess. It must have been more than 2. It was like no more than 3. It was a modest amount. But I'm beautiful. Very out of the game, out of practice.
So, Jada Pinkett Smith, been a lot of news about her. I guess the biggest thing that I saw before diving deeper into this was the headlines that said that her and Will Smith have been separated for 7 years.
She's so iconic and chaotic, and she's like the definition of like feminine chaos.
Yes.
Because she has been doing these red table talks, being like, I'm going to be vulnerable, I'm going to be true and honest about my life, my relationship. She's like getting Will on. They're talking about like how they've gotten through all these turmoils in their marriage. And now what does she do? She says, no, it turns out we've been divorced for 7 years.
She got him on the red table talk to talk about her entanglement with that guy.
With August.
And then they weren't even going out. They'd been separated for 7 years. Poor Will.
Okay, here's a twist on that narrative of poor Will.
Yes.
Which I think is maybe part of her writing this book and doing this tour.
So she's written a book.
She's written a memoir. I don't know the name. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm not her PR person.
Yeah.
You can look that up on your
own. Ask Jada. Google it.
Ask Jada. And she's doing a lot of press. And I was reading headlines. I was like, this is all crazy. I saw she was on Diary of a CEO. I was like, I'm going to listen. It was 1 hour and 40 minutes. And I listened the whole way through. And I have to say, my first reaction is what I think all of our reactions is. stop talking about your marriage to Will Smith. Like, everything we know about it, we've learned against our will. It's been, like, shoved in our faces and down our throats.
We have not wanted to know anything about this marriage. No one asked.
Literally no one has asked.
We thought they were together. Fine. Good.
Fine. You said you had an affair with your son's friend and you want to talk about it on Facebook Live. Fine. That's mildly interesting. We're, like, they're giving us everything and we're being like, huh.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's at a point where it's like, enough. Stop. But listening to her talk on Diary of a CEO, I did warm to her in a way because I think she's quite misunderstood and I think she's had a lot of trauma in her life and I think a lot of the way of her oversharing is like a trauma response thing where I think she feels misunderstood and she feels like if she just talks enough or just gets her story out enough, people will get her and she won't keep being framed in a certain way. But it's actually just adding.
Like Meghan Markle.
Yeah, like Meghan Markle. It's just, and I kind of understand that impulse in some ways, but she's also like Meghan Markle kind of creating her own problems and then trying to
fix them. That happened to me at the dry cleaner today.
What happened?
I went to pick up, I was walking past the dry cleaner and I'm in London at the moment, obviously. My boyfriend's friend is living with us and we dropped her dry cleaning in at the dry cleaner together on the weekend. Mm-hmm. And he'd said it would be ready Wednesday and I was walking past. So I was like, oh, I'll just grab it on the way because she finishes work late, whatever.
Yeah.
Went in to grab it, was like, and he was like, oh, you need to pay. She hasn't paid. And I was like, I'm pretty sure I saw her pay. And then he was like, well, she hasn't paid, so you need to pay. And then I was like, oh, but I heard her say, like, we talked about how much it cost outside. Yeah. And then I was like, not that it, like, I was just digging this hole because then he was like, huh? And I was like, not that we said it was expensive, but she was just making a joke about how she spent £15 dry cleaning socks. And he was like, it wasn't £15, it was £5. And I was like, it wasn't about the expense, it was about the socks. And then I left and felt like I was going to cry. I almost cried.
That impulse.
Just keep talking. I was like, and then I was going to ring him.
Oh my God.
I was going to ring the dry cleaner and be like, again, it wasn't about the price. I was just saying, I remember having a discussion about how she has stupid, frilly, like, sequined Simone Rocha socks. And it's crazy to have to dry clean socks every time you wear them.
Yeah.
It wasn't about that.
I know the exact feeling. I remember once I was at work and I was just, like, letting off steam about, it was about the stupidest thing ever. It was just, like, someone was meant to come with us to this event no one wanted to go to and they weren't coming. And I, like, sent a coworker something being, like, oh my God, and like blah, blah, blah's not even coming. And like, it's so annoying, like just something.
Mm-hmm.
And it popped up on their Slack and the person saw it because they happened to be like leaning over their computer or something at the time. It was like all very low stakes. And I remember writing out this like literal essay and being like, look, and then you saw the message. I want you to understand, blah, blah, blah. I remember talking to someone in the office about it and they're like, don't send that.
Yes.
Like, that's so weird. That's so weird.
Yeah.
Like, don't. But in my head, I was like, I need to explain my way out of all these things I now think this person thinks of me.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Jade is giving that.
Giving
energy.
That.
She's giving that.
She's like, call the dry cleaner.
She's, yeah. And would sit and talk to him and be like,
yeah.
She has a very intense vibe. Like, you notice this a lot in the Diary of the CEO thing. It's the longest straight I've listened to her talk. I think she's a very interesting person. She has a fascinating backstory. But she's been through a lot of trauma and she's been intense. But
she is, as you were saying before, she's really trauma informed. So what was it that you said?
So her parents, she grew up in Baltimore. Her mum was 17 when she had
That's
her.
Already traumatic. Serial?
Serial.
hadn't happened.
The Wire is Baltimore.
Yeah, Baltimore.
Sure. Her mum was 17. Her dad was, I think, like 18. Her parents were both complete full drug addicts from when she was born and she just had no sort of like active love from them. Obviously her mum's been on Red Table Talk and they have like a much better relationship now. She started dealing drugs when she was like a teenager in Baltimore. She was like literally a street drug dealer. And she said, for me, the experience that I had, you didn't see people being successful in any other world except for dealing drugs. It's the people who had money, the people who had power, people who had influence. So she wanted to be like the most powerful drug dealer. And then when she was really young, she basically got like held up by a rival drug dealer who put two guns to her head and was going to kill her. And then basically said to her, she's like, I saw in his face, his brain ticking over, being like, what do I do here? If I like, he had a gun at her face, being like, if I don't do it, will I look like I'm pussying out? If I do it, do I really want to do it? Whatever. She was like, I could just see his brain ticking over. And then he robbed me and took all of my stuff, but he didn't kill me. And then I met him again months later, and he said, oh yeah, I just looked at you. And I was like, she's too pretty for me to kill her. And she was like, and that was the first moment I realized maybe I am pretty.
Oh my God. And she married the drug dealer? Like, literally.
I mean, women, I would.
We're so fucked. It's like Mia Khalifa with the, like, bad boyfriend just being like, you should go into porn because actually you're hot. And she was like, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
We just love a compliment.
A compliment goes a long way.
Yes.
So that was, like, her background. And then she said, so when she went into acting, all the fucked up shit, like, alluding to the Weinstein-esque shit, she just said it all just felt like child's play. She just could just really hold her own in those meetings because it was just so – the stakes felt so much lower than what they had been for her growing up. She just didn't – she had a lot of, like, mental health struggles and mental health breakdowns, and she lost – Tupac was, like, her best friend from high school, like, as in literal best friend. And he was obviously killed. And then very shortly after that, one of her best female friends died by suicide. Like, she's just had a lot of shit in her life. And she met Will Smith and he was kind of crazy about her. And she wasn't really keen on him at all at the start. She basically said she thought he was, like, a bit lame. And he kind of pursued her. He tried to get her a part on... He offered her a part on Fresh Prince and she said no. And then when they eventually, she said, which was really interesting, that, like, he was so healthy. Like, he wasn't a tortured soul. Mm. He wasn't complicated. He was really mentally self-regulated, ambitious, happy, optimistic. And for so long, she just thought that that meant there was no depth to him. And it was, like, a big moment in her self healing journey to realize that someone who was really healthy and okay with themselves and didn't need to be fixed, like, loved her, which I thought was very sweet.
Mm.
But she says, I get the vibe that he probably cheated on her. I mean, I'm kind of extrapolating, but she basically said, like, his love language was, I'm working as hard as I can to build a perfect life for you so you never have to work and I can shower you with gifts and we'll have a beautiful house and we'll have a perfect life. And she would just sit down with him and be like, I don't care about that. I just want connection. I just want time with you. I just want to, like, look into each other's eyes and talk and feel connected. And he was always running away onto the next uh-huh. project or onto the next thing. And they basically decided to separate. And then when it came out that she'd hooked up with August... She basically insinuates that Will didn't want it out there that they had been separated. So she agreed to kind of take one for the team and come out and be like, yeah, I cheated on you, to keep the facade of their marriage and his public image as, like, the wronged man in place. And that her mum said to her afterwards, like, what the fuck are you doing? And she was like, you're so codependent. Like, that's insane that you just did that.
Mm.
So that's her version.
Will needs to go on Diary of a CEO.
Will
now.
Needs to go.
Okay, should we wrap this up and then carry
TBC
on?
TBC
next week. I'm gonna listen on my walk home, so I'll have some back and forth. I should listen to the Jay Shitty one. No,
oh God, 2.5 hours. God bless you.
Okay.
Bye. Wait, we mean it'll be on the Patreon next week.
No, yeah, Patreon.
Yeah.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.